Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will talk with nationally recognized raw food chef, Jennifer Kornbleet. She will tell us about the nutrition, health, and culinary benefits of preparing raw food recipes and meals. Chef Kornbleet is an instructor and faculty member of the famous Living Light Culinary Institute in California. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Vegetable-rich diets keep pancreatitis away. Individuals who consume a diet rich in vegetables are significantly less likely to develop acute pancreatitis, say researchers. The study published online in the journal Gut examined 80,000 adults in Sweden in order to determine if an imbalance in antioxidant levels was associated with dietary factors increased the risk of acute pancreatitis. Pancreatitis refers to inflammation of the pancreas. The pancreas releases hormones as well as digestive enzymes to break down food. However, these enzymes can sometimes activate inside the pancreas and start to digest the gland itself. Symptoms from acute pancreatitis can be severe and potentially life-threatening. Earlier studies have associated acute pancreatitis with excessive production of free radicals. According to the researchers, individuals who consume more than 4 servings of vegetables per day were 44% less likely to develop acute pancreatitis than people who ate only 1 serving per day. The researchers note that the protective effect of vegetables is most likely due to the high levels of antioxidants that they contain. Here's a study from the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine which says dairy products do not promote bone health. Dairy products and calcium do not prevent stress fractures, says researchers who followed adolescent girls for 7 years, tracking their diets, physical activity, and stress fractures. Girls consuming the most dairy products and calcium had no added protection. In fact, among the most active girls exercising more than 1 hour per day, those who got the most calcium in their diets, coming mostly from dairy products, had more than double the risk of a stress fracture compared to those getting less calcium. Researchers found that vitamin D intake did help cut risk. Girls getting the most vitamin D had half the risk of a fracture compared with girls getting less vitamin D. Well, fruits and veggies are linked with smoking cessation. According to a new study published in the journal Nicotine and Tobacco Research and conducted by researchers at the University of Buffalo, eating fruits and veggies may curb the urge to smoke, making it easier to kick the habit and keep it away. The study, which is the first longitudinal study to analyze the link between smoking cessation and the consumption of fruits and vegetables, involved 1,000 smokers from around the United States who are aged 25 or older. The researchers conducted a survey using an over-the-phone method and did a follow-up interview with the volunteers 14 months after the original study to find out if the smokers had remained strong in their quest to quit smoking. Gary Giovino, chair of the Department of Community Health and Health Behavior at the University of Buffalo, commented that while the studies have taken a snapshot approach asking smokers and non-smokers about their diets, we knew from previous work that people who were abstinent from cigarettes for less than 6 months consumed more fruits and vegetables than those who still smoked. What we didn't know was whether recent quitters increased their fruit and vegetable consumption or if smokers who ate more fruits and vegetables were more likely to quit. The outcome of the study showed that people who ate the most fruits and veggies had a threefold increased chance of not smoking when questioned at a follow-up than people who ate the least amount of fruits and veggies. The study also claims that fruits and veggies do not make the taste of tobacco better, unlike some foods such as caffeinated drinks, alcoholic beverages, and meat, which some smokers have said make cigarettes taste more appealing. Well, it's possible that an improved diet could be an important item to add to the list of measures to help people quit smoking. Sitting too much increases the risk of premature death, even in people who exercise, according to a new Australian study of 222,000 healthy adults in the Archives of Internal Medicine. The greatest risk was among those sitting for at least 11 hours a day, who were about 40% more likely to die over the course of a 3-year study than those sitting less than 4 hours a day. Prolonged sitting can have adverse effects, notably on blood vessel function, HDL or good cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar. Many people spend 90% of their waking hours sitting, so break up prolonged sitting time by getting up every hour or two and walking a few minutes. We'll be back with more after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is that I understand that taking magnesium supplements and eating foods that are rich in magnesium can help prevent stroke. Is this true? Well, actually, a Swedish analysis in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that for every 100 milligram daily increase in dietary magnesium, there was a 9% drop in stroke risk. Well, the recommended daily intake of magnesium is 320 milligrams for women and 420 for men, which most people fall short of. Now, many studies have linked dietary magnesium to lower blood pressure and reduced cardiovascular risk, but those using supplements have had inconsistent results. Now, the best sources of magnesium include leafy greens, whole grains, nuts, beans, and seeds. So eat more foods rich in magnesium, and it could very likely help you reduce your risk of stroke.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Our special guest today is Jennifer Kornbleet. Jennifer Kornbleet is a nationally recognized raw food chef and instructor and longtime faculty member of the famous Living Light Culinary Institute in California. She lectures and holds classes in the San Francisco Bay Area and internationally. And her website, learnrawfood.com, is a comprehensive resource for both online training and raw food recipes, information, and products. Jennifer is the author of Raw Food Made Easy for One or Two People. And Jennifer, thank you for being with us today here on Health and Longevity.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, when we think of raw food, and a lot of people don't know what is raw food, and I know there's some definitions of it to be technically accurate amongst people that are hardcore raw food foodists, I guess you could call them. Tell us, what is raw food?
Well, you might think of raw food as being food that isn't heated or isn't cooked, and it does mean that. But if you think of the word raw, like something in its raw state, in its natural state, that's basically what raw food is food that's unprocessed. So no preservatives, no white flour, no sugar. no white sugar, and food that isn't heated or cooked, because that's another way of changing the nutritional composition of food. So it's food in its natural state.
Now, is there any temperature allocations for that? For instance, some talk about sun-drying fruits and so forth.
Yeah, well, there's a range, but generally the thinking is that about 118 degrees, you start losing a lot of the vitamin and enzyme content, so that's usually considered the cutoff. One preparation method is using a food dehydrator at temperatures less than that. I don't use a dehydrator in any of my recipes simply because I'm trying to keep things really simple and easy.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about your cookbook, and I shouldn't call it a cookbook. It's really a food preparation book because we're not really cooking here. It's all raw food. Describe your book, Raw Food Made Easy for One or Two People, and tell us about some of the different types of recipes and what's all included in that.
Sure. And by the way, I still call it a cookbook simply because even though we're not heating food, we're still, you know, cutting things and using a blender or a food processor and having other ways of processing the food to make it into something delicious.
Okay.
But Raw Food Made Easy for One or Two People, the reason I wrote it is that when I was teaching classes, a common concern a lot of my students had is they said, if we're going to eat raw foods on a regular basis, we need it to be a lot easier. So my goal in this book was to make every recipe take under 30 minutes from start to finish, no fancy equipment and no exotic ingredients. And I also made it for one or two people because a lot of recipe books make 4, 6, 8 servings, and then you've got a lot of leftovers you don't necessarily need, and it takes more time and money to make more food than you need. And the book includes simple, easy, tasty recipes for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. And I focus on flavors that are really familiar and appealing to people and recipes that are really easy. So you'll find all different kinds of recipes in there. When it comes to breakfast, you'll find juices and smoothies and fruit salads and even cereals. When it comes to lunch and dinner, you'll find sandwiches made out of lettuce, like wraps, soups, salads, and even main dishes and vegetable side dishes and even desserts.
And I just want to say this is a very beautiful book with some beautiful pictures and very easy to read and understand on how to prepare the different raw food recipes. And I understand that this is actually, as we're speaking today, a updated and revised edition from your first edition of the book.
Yes, the original Raw Food Made Easy came out in 2007, and since that time, there have been a lot of changes. For example, green smoothies have become a lot more popular, so I wanted to include those in the new edition. Also, people are busier than ever, and they often travel more, so I wanted to include some sections on easy snacks and how to travel and stay healthy. And I also just updated the book by adding over 60 new recipes, because, the book has all my original recipes that are my favorites, but I've developed a lot more in the last several years, and I wanted to include those too.
How many recipes altogether?
I haven't counted exactly, but I'm guessing about 175.
175. Okay, and it is published by the Book Publishing Company, and our listeners go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com, you can obtain a book through our website here from our radio show as well.
Great.
As well as through Amazon and through the bookstores and so forth. Now, let's talk about eating raw, and sometimes people think, oh boy, raw food, that sounds like a real restrictive diet. I'm just going to be eating lettuce all day long and sprouts. Uh-huh. Actually, it's a lot different than that, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, definitely it includes things that you think of, like salads and fruits and simple dishes like that, which can be delicious, but there's a lot you can do with it. And I want to say, first off, I don't follow a 100% raw diet, and there are very few people who do, and I want to say that this does not need to be an all-or-nothing thing. I like to think of it as a way of expanding people's options. People who want to eat more fruits and vegetables, here's more types of recipes that maybe you haven't thought of before, so it actually can add to your repertoire of recipes, not limit you. So I think of it as adding to people's options. And it's not just celery or lettuce, like you're saying. I mean, you can make blended smoothies, you can make soups, you can even make pasta out of zucchini, and you can make all kinds of desserts that are free of gluten and free of refined sugar and dairy products.
Well, what inspired you to get interested in the whole raw food lifestyle?
Well, I've always loved to cook from an early age, and I was interested in vegetarian cooking from an early age. And I met a holistic health practitioner named Kayvon Golasaneb when I was in my 20s, and he introduced me to eating a healthful diet, and he recommended I include more raw foods in my diet. So I started experimenting on my own, But since I love to cook, I also began playing in the kitchen and discovered it can be incredibly delicious as well as healthy. And then just for fun, I went out to the Living Light Institute, which is a raw food chef school in Northern California. And I went there one summer just for personal benefit and for fun because I had summers off. I was a high school English teacher at the time. And that really opened my eyes to just how incredibly delicious it can be. And that's when I decided to switch professions and start teaching raw food classes full time.
Now, raw food, I see more and more in restaurants and in particularly health restaurants, but even sometimes even in regular restaurants. It's hard to say whether it's becoming more mainstream. Vegetarian diets definitely are, and even now vegan diets. Raw food is starting to get quite interest amongst many people. Where do you see it going as far as the acceptance of people today?
Well, I definitely think it's becoming more well-known in the sense that when I first started teaching this 12 years ago, not as many people knew what it was. And, you know, my book was one of the first recipe books out there, and I had to explain it in more detail. Whereas now when I say I teach raw food classes, people seem to know what that is. So I think it's just there's more awareness of it. And as you said, more awareness of a vegan diet or of eating healthfully and the effect of our diet on our health is definitely out there. So I think there's a lot more openness to it because of those reasons.
Let's talk about the health aspects of it because this program is called Health and Longevity. What are some of the benefits from a health standpoint and wellness standpoint that people can see when they eat a more raw food diet?
Okay, well, one of the health benefits simply comes from things that you're avoiding or reducing or eliminating. So,
Yes. You
know, you're not eating white flour and white sugar and red meat and dairy products and preservatives and trans fat. So you're cutting out a lot of the offenders. So that's one reason. But then also you're getting a lot more dark leafy green vegetables in your diet, a lot more fresh fruit. So you're getting a lot more vitamins and minerals from all the fresh produce that you're eating. You're also getting the right kinds of fats, monounsaturated fats and omega-3 fatty acids and different kinds of nuts and seeds. So you're getting a lot of the good stuff, and you're also reducing or avoiding some of the bad foods.
Now, would you call raw food diet actually a low-calorie diet? Or I see sometimes I've actually been to some raw food restaurants where I thought, boy, I had more nuts in one serving than I've had in a week or so. So I think it could probably vary, but overall, how do you look at the raw food recipes?
Well, I mean, like anything, it can vary. If you have something really gourmet or rich, you know, it's going to be more caloric versus something light or simple. That would go for any type of food. But overall, and I focus on making really simple recipes that have a lot of fresh produce as opposed to really fatty dishes. So overall, you're going to see a much lower caloric density than on a standard diet because you are eating so many fresh fruits and vegetables, which are lower in calories than other foods.
Well, we take a look at your book and some of the recipes. Why don't you give us some examples of some of the, maybe your favorite recipes that you're sharing in your book?
Sure. Well, one of my favorites is a salad called Mediterranean kale. And a lot of times people think that you can't eat dark leafy greens raw, like kale, that you have to steam it or stir fry it because the fibers are too tough. But one thing that you can do to make raw kale really tender and delicious is you can cut it really fine into thin strips, and then you can massage it pretty vigorously with your hands in just a little bit of light dressing, and that wilts it just as if you'd steamed or stir-fried it. And then I add to it some golden raisins, some pine nuts, or if I want to do something savory, some olives and red bell pepper and lemon juice, and you have just a delicious tender raw kale salad. So that one's one of my favorites. Another one I really like as a main dish is zucchini noodles with marinara sauce. And people love pasta, but a lot of times maybe they're trying to avoid wheat or white flour. And usually when they like pasta, what they really love is the taste of the sauce and the al dente texture of the pasta. And you can create that with zucchini if you cut it in the right way. There's a little gadget called a spiral slicer, which allows you to make turn zucchini into angel hair pasta just by turning a handle. It's quicker than boiling water and making pasta. Or you can simply use a vegetable peeler to peel the zucchini into fettuccine-like strips. And then I make a delicious marinara sauce out of fresh tomatoes, sun-dried tomatoes, and red bell pepper in the food processor. You can have it at room temperature or warm it up just slightly, you know, just to body temperature, and toss it up, and you have a wonderful Italian dish, but without the wheat or the gluten.
Now, you know, a lot of people think of raw food as being different, but actually a lot of the average person in many cases does eat some raw food recipes, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everyone's really familiar with, you know, having an apple as a snack or a handful of nuts or even a smoothie or a salad and or juices, you know. So what I like to do is give people more options for the dishes they're already familiar with, and then also just expand their horizons a little bit into some of the main dishes and the desserts just to see what else you can do.
Now, people today are on the run. Sometimes people eat on the run. They just don't have time to sit and do food preparation. Of course, that has a lot to do with what they're valuing as far as their time and how they use their time. And, of course, preparing food, healthy food, is really important for your personal health and wellness. So taking a little time to do some food preparation is really important. But I know that in today's busy lifestyles, people are concerned maybe about making raw food recipes. It's going to take a long time. I'm going to be in the kitchen for hours. Maybe you can describe some simple recipes that people can do.
Well, my favorite simple raw food recipe is a green smoothie. And like I said, there's a whole new chapter in the book on green smoothies. And green smoothies take only 5 minutes to make in your blender, and they're a combination of fresh fruit, green leafy vegetables, and water. They're really simple. And they're a great way to get more greens into your diet because they taste just like a fruit smoothie, so it doesn't even taste like you're having greens. And you're not adding any oil or salt or anything else to it. It's just fruits and vegetables. So one of my favorite green smoothies is an apple banana green smoothie. And to make that for two people, I just blend together two apples, one banana, a little bit of water, and some greens such as spinach, chard, or kale. And you blend it up, and it's this wonderful fruity drink, and there I've gotten a whole serving of dark green leafy vegetables for breakfast.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, for those that, let's say, have never had any experience even in regular cooking in the kitchen or spent time much in the kitchen, what are some things that you could talk to them about in preparing some wonderful and delicious raw meals?
Well, if you're new to it, I actually find that it's easier to make simple raw dishes than cooked dishes, and you need less equipment to get started. Really, all that you need to do everything is a knife, a cutting board, a blender, and a food processor. And it doesn't need to be a really expensive model of those either. And you can do 99% of everything with just that. And I find it's a really intuitive way to prepare food because you've got the wonderful ingredients right in front of you, and it's just a real quick, simple preparation that involves maybe a little cutting or a little bit of blending. And what you end up with still tastes like the wonderful fresh flavors that you started out with. So I think it's really intuitive for people once they kind of learn a new way of looking at food.
Now let's talk about desserts, because a lot of people like desserts, and people thinking, well, how am I going to bake a cake, or how am I going to make muffins, or how am I going to do some of the typical types of desserts? Because most people think of desserts as something you've got to cook, but you've come up with some great creations in the dessert category that are completely raw, that are healthy, and based on fruits and nuts, and give us some examples of those.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you about two of my favorite desserts. One is the world's easiest chocolate cake. It only has three ingredients.
Okay.
Walnuts, which are a good source of omega-3s, dates, which are going to sweeten the cake instead of refined sugar, and cocoa powder. And you can put a pinch of salt in there, too. And when you process all of that in your food processor, you have this mixture that tastes like it's got flour and sugar and butter and chocolate in it. It's really quite amazing. And then you don't even need a pan for it, much less to bake it. You just press it down onto a plate and top it with some raspberries, and you have a wonderful fudgy cake that just took you 5 minutes to make. And then one of my second favorite desserts is a tropical fruit tart. And the crust is just a mixture of walnuts, dried coconut, and dates, and it's like a crumbly graham cracker crust that you just press into the pie plate, so no rolling or baking. And the filling is just a mixture of fresh mangoes and dried mangoes. And you soak the dried mangoes for a few minutes so that they blend easily. And then you just blend that up, and it's a rich mango pudding. There's no fat in it. There's no refined sugar, just one ingredient, mangoes. And then you top it with some fresh berries. And it's colorful, it's delicious, and no refined sugar.
Well, if you're to give or share one maybe key piece of advice for someone that's trying to maybe incorporate more raw foods and recipes in their diet, or wishing to go more in this type of direction as part of a health and wellness program, what would be the key advice you'd give to someone?
Well, the key advice I would give is just trust yourself. You know, don't be afraid. Just dive in there and try a simple recipe. And the immediate gratification you're going to get from just trying your first simple smoothie or simple dessert, it's so immediate. You know, you're going to make the recipe in like 15 minutes. You're going to taste it, and it's going to be delicious. And that's really going to build your confidence. So just start. Just dive in and start.
Well, you know, it's obvious, and after reading through your book and talking to you today, that you have a real passion about raw foods and healthy cuisine. And I know that you express that passion in many ways here writing the book and being on radio programs like this and sharing the message. Tell us about some of the other things you do to teach people about raw food preparation.
Sure. Well, in addition to my book, I've got Raw Food Made Easy for One or Two People and also a book on desserts called Raw for Dessert. I also love making videos for YouTube, and I've got a YouTube channel, Jenny Kornbleet. And I'm coming out with a couple of more DVDs this year of my videos because I think people learn from watching. I'm also a teacher at the Living Light Institute in California, as I mentioned, and I teach their chef and instructor training program for people who are aspiring raw chefs and teachers.
Now, how does someone get in touch with the Institute?
To find more about Living Light, they can visit Living Light's website, which is rawfoodchef.com.
Okay.
And my website is learnrawfood.com. And what I'm working on now that I'm really excited about is an online course called Ready for Raw, and it's going to be launched this fall by October. And what this course is a series of 15 sessions. It's 4 months of training where people can learn from me online. They can have live interaction with me, discussion area. We're going to have videos. There'll be printable recipes. It's like the next best thing to a live training with me, because I know oftentimes people don't have the time or money to, you know, go to a training in another location, and it can be very expensive, and there's a lot of logistical barriers, and I want people to be able to learn from the comfort of their own home and do something just really affordable, fun, and easy. So that's coming up this fall.
Well, again, your website is learnedrawfood.com, and the book is Raw Food Made Easy for One or Two People. It's a beautiful book. I highly recommend it, and I think this book would make an excellent addition to anyone's kitchen who would like to have some great recipes for raw food diets. This is an excellent book, Jennifer. You've done a great job in putting this together with a variety of different recipes, and I want to mention to our listeners, too, that we will make this available on our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for being with us today. We wish you the best of success as you continue teaching people about a healthier way of eating.
Thank you so much for having me.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's it for this week's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.